Well, folks, if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to go to Matthew 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. We have one verse today. And this one verse, don't worry, I will have you out of here by halftime of the Iowa game. So, normally I preach more than just one verse. Normally we've got a whole passage, but this one verse, yet it's short, it's very, very powerful. And I would say this, out of all the messages we've had here regarding the Sermon on the Mount, if you can truly apply this one verse in your life, God is going to use you in some incredible ways in the kingdom of God. So I know it's one verse, but if you can all apply this one verse in your life, God will use it in huge ways. You just have one verse to apply today. Y'all with me? Can you try, by the grace of God, to apply this? Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. We ask for your blessings here as we seek your heart and what you desire for the followers of Jesus. I pray that you'd equip us, empower us by your Spirit to do what it is you've called us to do as your people. Lord, help us to do the word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse is also going to be on the screen, and I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to read this verse together. Again, just one verse. Matthew 7, verse 12. Here we go. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. All right, you may be seated. This verse is often referred to as the Golden Rule, right? I thought about titling this message The Golden Rule, but the more I looked into this verse and understanding what it is that Jesus is sharing with us, I'm like, no, we're not going to title it Golden Rule. Well, it is a very important rule. The title of my message is this: don't be a do-nothing. And you're thinking, now how in the world did you get that title from that verse? And you'll see why as we go. The idea of the Golden Rule was not a new concept when Jesus spoke this verse. In fact, several hundred years before Jesus, there were different religious leaders or philosophy thinkers and all of that that would say these kinds of things. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. Do not do to others that which angers you when they do it to you. These were things being said before Jesus walked the earth. And in the midst of this, there was also a Jewish teacher, a Rabbi Hillel. And we addressed a little bit of Hillel and his school of thought back when I had a message regarding the topic of divorce. And he was a very liberal thinker. And he was the one that I said had these ridiculous rules, like if your wife burnt your food, you could move on, okay? That's how ridiculous this thinker was. Well, Rabbi Hillel, again, a liberal teacher of the law, he was one that would engage with Gentile people. People that were not of Jewish background. And one day a Gentile came to him and he challenged Hillel. And this is what he said. He said, Rabbi, summarize the law for me, but do it while I'm standing on one leg. It's almost like this challenge. And Hillel said, well, what is hateful to you, do not do it to anyone else. This is the whole law. The rest is commentary. In other words, what you don't want other people to do to you, don't do that to other people. That's essentially the concepts that were being taught, the things that, in Hillel's case, felt he was summarizing the law, and the law essentially being the scriptures. This sums up the law, that'd be the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets. So at that time, the Old Testament that the Jews were adhering to, this sums it all up in this one verse, the way Jesus brought it. Now, there'd be other religious leaders and other philosophies that would embrace this golden rule concept. But one thing that's interesting about the way Jesus put it, that is different from all of these other thinkers and leaders, he had one difference. He says, do to others what you would have them do to you. And you might be sitting there going, well, what's really different about that? Well, all the other thinkers that brought forward their philosophy, it's put in the negative form. Like, don't do what you wouldn't want done to you, right? It's in the negative form. And Jesus puts it in the positive form. He says to do to others what you would have them do to you. So in one sense, it's very passive. I'll hold back things that would be harmful from people. And if I hold back things that are harmful, then I'm doing okay. And Jesus puts it forth with some action behind it. He says it's not so much about not doing things to people as much as it is doing to them what you would have them do to you. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty hard verse to swallow. So if somebody wrongs me, I might have some emotions in my flesh and things that I would want to do to them that probably aren't what Jesus is talking about right here, right? I'm upset, I'm angry, and I could take them out, right? There you go. I got a fist and a hand over here for an illustration, right? I'm going to lay it down. And if you take all these other philosophies and ideas of their version of the golden rule, I'm doing okay if I refrain from bringing down the wrath. But Jesus calls us to another standard. It's not about doing nothing to those who wrong you. It's what does it look like to respond in a way that is the heart of Jesus Christ. And even though they've wronged you, and you feel they might deserve the wrath, you respond to them in a way that's full of grace, full of mercy, full of compassion. It's not just avoiding it, it's addressing it with a way that gives life, that gives forgiveness, that responds favorably toward those that are mistreating us. Isn't that just a really hard thing to do? I know you're all kind of looking at me right now like, no, we got that figured out, Russ, so okay. But I just think that is tough. And Jesus even, like, we can sit here and go, well, but you don't know my situation, Jesus. It's like, well, read the first part of that verse. So in everything. And you're like, oh, so my situation isn't like this, exception to this rule. Like, Jesus is calling me to that standard no matter what it is that's come my way. No matter what it is that has been directed at me, he wants me to respond with grace. He wants me to reach out to those who are mistreating me. It seems like he's teaching us to live out the gospel. Because the way I read scripture, I see verses like, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were separated from God. We were in our sin that separates us from God. And God didn't just do nothing. It wasn't like he waited around just, when are these people going to figure it out? while we were still in sin, Christ died for us. God made the move. I'm going to redeem these people. I'm going to do something about this. And so we see the gospel in this verse. The action. God's not a do-nothing. Amen to that. You know, I think of a real-life testimony of some missionaries when I consider this verse. As I was chewing on this week, what it looks like to do to others and what you would want them to do to you, I think of the story of Jim Elliot. Have you ever heard of Jim Elliot? Right? He wanted to be a missionary, and there were several individuals that joined him in these endeavors as a missionary. And so guys like Ed McCulley, Nate Saint, Peter Fleming, these guys and their families, they want to minister to people. And they want to see God work in people's lives in these foreign places. And so moving from Oregon, and after going to college, Wheaton College, he takes off. And he moves eventually to Quito, Ecuador, co-laboring with Peter Fleming, picking up the language, moving on into Shandia, and there he would begin to learn the language of the Quechuas. These are indigenous people, and you got to learn a little bit of who they are and what they do, and so that way we can sort of bridge the gap here and then minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 3 years later, many in this village would come to know Jesus, but there was an enemy known as the Akas who were very violent and had killed many of these Quechua people. This Jim has a burden for the tribe that is killing. Do to others as you would want them to do to you. What do you think the spiritual state was of this tribe that was killing the other tribe? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they are dead in their sin and transgression, and that unless they come into an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness of the sin that separates them from God, they will die in that sin and be eternally separated from God. And Jim has a heartbeat for these people. Even though they are attacking this tribe that they're ministering to, I think we should minister to this tribe. So that burden for his enemies takes him and four other missionaries as they begin to figure out a way to show these people the love of Jesus Christ. Well, they were guys who could fly airplanes, and that's kind of part of what they did. They would fly around, scope the place out, give them different gifts and buckets and try to build rapport. They can't speak their language, but we'll show them the love of Jesus from an airplane, throwing things out of the sky. Eventually, they decide to give them a gift in a bucket. And eventually, they get to a point where they want to land and begin building relationships. And so there comes a point where there's some interaction with this tribe, and they feel like they're building some rapport. The ability to connect was difficult. You imagine speaking with people, you have no idea what they're saying, they have no idea what you're saying. But they felt like things went well. They had a meal with a few of these individuals, thinking, hey, this is great. You know, they even gave one of these tribesmen a plane ride. Pretty cool, right? You're like, hey, we're really breaking through here. These are enemies of the tribe we've been ministering to. Well, about 2 days later, after this encounter, these men were attacked by the tribe, and they were killed. You know, and at one point, in self-defense, Jim Elliot reaches for a gun, but then he remembers that he made a vow as a missionary not to kill these people. These men died for the gospel on January 2nd, 1956. Does the story stop there? No. These men had wives. And you think of that verse, in everything, do to others what you would want done to you. If you were lost, you did not know Jesus, you retaliated against some people who were bringing you the message of Jesus, you kill them, in the big picture, you still need Jesus. And because of the grace of God, he sends you the message again. And it comes through the wives of these men. And as these women begin to minister to these people, they encounter the love of Jesus Christ. And many of these people come to know Jesus. You know, the beauty in that verse and the essence of the gospel through that verse is earlier when I said, if you can just apply this one verse in your life, think of what God can do. Think of what God can do if you get that right. Well, God was able to encounter these people in such a way that they'd be transformed, and then they became considered a friendly tribe. The grace of God at work. One of the former warriors who speared to death two of those men would come to faith in Christ, and years later he would even go on to build a relationship with some of these guys' family. And he would be actually baptizing Nate Saint's kids, and they call him father or grandfather. Do you see how it's not just about not harming? It's about stepping into the grace of God and encountering people in such a way that you're loving in supernatural ways. And with that said, in order to apply the verse that Jesus has given us in verse 12, I can't do that in my own strength. The only way I can do that is through the grace and the power of God. And it's him at work. And the purpose of that is to give him glory, honor, and praise. You think of how that verse is very applicable to the testimony of these missionaries. So how about for us here today in rural Iowa? Are there situations where that verse right there confronts whatever it is that we might be walking through? Maybe there's relational strain. Essentially, this verse deals with relationships. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Is there a relationship that you need to lean in on the supernatural grace of God to act toward that individual in such a way that's full of grace and mercy? And God takes that and does something as beautiful as what I just shared through the testimony of Jim Elliott and his brothers and sisters in Christ. Ultimately, I want to make sure that everyone who's listening understands the greatest relationship that you can have, and that is with Jesus Christ, the one who died in order to reconcile you to Father God. Think of what he did on your behalf so that you could have a right relationship with God. If you sit here today and you consider your life in relationship to the Lord and you're going, I don't know if I've ever encountered Christ in such a way that I asked him to forgive my sin and be my Lord and Savior, to come and transform my life and to help me to live as a follower of Christ. If you desire that today, then I encourage you to lean in when I close this message in prayer and ask Christ to come and transform your heart and life. So one final time, please stand. We're going to read this verse together. This is not a passive verse. It is active. The ways in which God wants us to reach out to people. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this verse. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given us. And the only way we can apply a verse like this into our lives is if we're depending on and leaning on Jesus Christ. We can't do that on our own. We need you. And Lord, for everyone listening right now, if there's someone that is not in a right relationship with God the Father through faith and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to pray with me right now to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just pray with me in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you a sinner separated from God, and I need you to save me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross, paying the penalty and the price for my sin. And today I place my faith and trust in you. Please forgive me. Please enter into my life. Transform my heart. Make me a new person. Help me to be a follower of Jesus. I thank you today for this gift of salvation that I receive by grace through faith. Lord, we thank you for this word today. In Jesus' name, amen.